Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
A certain kind of love in your heart can make all your prayers completely worthless. Verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So we understand command number one, don't pray like the hypocrites, be authentic. Now let's take a look at command number two. Interesting, Jesus says, go into your room. Go to your room. And at this point, some of you might be wondering, wait a minute. If the issue here is secrecy, why do I need to go to my room? Why didn't Jesus say, but you, when you pray, pray in your head, keep your eyes open, nobody will know you're praying. Right? That's really secret. You go to a room, somebody might see you going in the room. But if you just pray, you know, just while you're going about your day, then that's even more secret. Why does Jesus tell us we need to go somewhere? Evidently, Jesus is talking about a kind of prayer that must be done in seclusion. This is a kind of prayer that requires you to go somewhere, walk somewhere, and do it there, not where you already are. Sometimes people say, look, I don't have those. I'm not the type that has these set aside, formal, structured prayer times. You know, I just pray all through the day. I just pray through the day. My whole life is prayer. Constant praying without ceasing. Constant awareness of God's presence. Constantly breathing little prayers to God every minute of the day, every hour of the day, all through the day. That's the way I pray. Well, that's great. That's a wonderful thing to do. Every Christian should certainly strive to be constantly communicating with God all day long, all through the day. But if that's the extent of your prayer life, is that enough? No, it's not enough. And you can tell that by the fact that Jesus gives commands like this to go somewhere. I mean, think about this. Is that what Jesus is talking about here? Those kind of prayers? When you do these little prayers all through the day, how long are those prayers? 5 seconds? 10? Maybe 20? I doubt Jesus is saying that you should drop what you're doing, go to your house, go into the storage closet, close the door behind you, and pray for 10 seconds. I don't think that's the... I mean, if you're going to go to all the trouble to go to some place, obviously, it's going to be for an extended time of prayer. If you're going to just pray for 20 seconds, you could do it on the way to the room. You'd be done by the time you got to the room. And this fits... The idea of extended prayer time fits with Jesus' example, doesn't it? Didn't Jesus do that? In Matthew 14, Jesus goes up into the mountains to pray. He climbs up into the mountains to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples to keep watch while he went a little farther and prayed. And then when he came back, what did he find? They were all asleep. I don't think that's a 20-second prayer unless they all had narcolepsy. He comes back 20 seconds later, they're all asleep. I mean, he's gone for a while. There's different kinds of prayer. There are the little 5-second prayers that are offered all through the days, and those are wonderful. Those are important. But then there's also the prayers that require a quiet, secluded place for an extended period of time. And those are also important. Both kinds are important. Think about it. Was Jesus in constant communion all day long with the Father? Absolutely. You know, there's a book by Brother Lawrence called Practicing the Presence of God that I've found a couple of things in there very helpful. I love the things that he says in there about making every action all day long a little act of fellowship with God. That's a great principle. But one big problem with that book is in there he says that he kind of downplays the importance of going somewhere and having extended prayer time because he makes all of life a prayer. And you read the book and you think, wow, he's so spiritual. His moment-by-moment prayers are enough to just have this great communion with God. Well, do you think he had greater moment-by-moment prayer than Jesus? No. Nobody ever, I can't imagine anybody who's ever lived had greater moment-by-moment communion with the Father than Jesus Christ. And yet, was that enough for Jesus? No. Even Jesus, even though he had this great moment-by-moment communion with God, needed to get away. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He felt the need for that seclusion. And they were long enough times to where he would travel on foot somewhere to be alone for a long time. That's important to note, because for some people, this idea of planning prayer seems, it just feels kind of legalistic to some people. There are some who think the only way to avoid legalism is for everything to be spontaneous. Everything's just got to be spontaneous, nothing planned. Those people say, I've got freedom in Christ. I don't have to recite some prescribed prayer or go to any particular place or any predetermined time or plan anything. I just pray whenever I feel like it for as long as I feel like it, and that's just all freedom. And I, if I make a rule for myself, I say I need to start praying out of resolve, and then it's not out of desire, and that ruins it. And that's the way some people think. But it's a mistake to think of resolve as being the opposite of desire. It's true that if you have only resolve and no desire, that's a problem. That's a symptom of a problem. But the solution to that problem is not to eliminate the resolve. It's just to simply increase the desire. Resolve and desire should go together. They do in every other area of life. Everything else you do, there's both discipline and spontaneity mixed together, right? You can't just be spontaneous about every single thing you do. Just wake up whenever you feel like it. Eat whenever you feel like it. Do whatever you want whenever you feel like it. You got to have some discipline in your life. We need to have planned things, and that's true in any relationship. In your marriage, if I have a genuine love for my wife and I desire to spend some time with her, that's going to manifest itself in a couple of different ways, in spontaneous ways and in planned ways. There will be the spontaneous things, it's out of the blue, just remarking about how beautiful she is or how much I love her, just unplanned. And then there will also be the planned things where I take some time and plan a wonderful weekend together. So the two go together. Spontaneity and discipline are both important. Another false dichotomy that some people have with regard to prayer is that somehow effort is the opposite of grace. You shouldn't have to work to pray. Prayer should just be like a feast. It should be fun. It should be enjoyable. It should be delightful. It shouldn't be work. And so some people have been taught grace means you don't have to do any work. You just relax, let God do everything. That is not grace. That's not what grace means. Just the exact opposite. Grace always energizes and compels work. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. The effect of grace is work. It's effort. The fact that someone is laboring and striving and working hard does not mean that person is being legalistic or trying to earn anything. I read a great statement about that this week. John Piper said, if you were starving and the food of life were locked in a container and Christ died to open the container, you would not be a legalist if you walked 5 miles and stood in line all day to receive your food with tears of expectancy and gratitude. Knowing that he has absolutely secured your food at the cost of his life would make you confident and humble and grateful, but it would not make you say, I don't need to travel or put forth effort. I don't believe in such discipline. I'll just wait till the food spontaneously falls into my mouth. No, that's not grace. That's not what God's grace calls for. God's grace calls for effort. And prayer is effort. No question about it. It's work. Even for spiritual people like Epaphras, Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you. It's a wrestling match. True love for God says with the psalmist in Psalm 63, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. Earnestly I seek you. My soul follows hard after you. It's a picture of chasing someone.
Why not make a decision right now about how many times per year you want to schedule a time where you can go somewhere and spend extended time alone with God? If you don't do it right now, when will you ever do it? even if it's just once a year to start out. Pick a date and put it on your calendar right now.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.